Today I'm going to speak about Russian nurses from home visits to alternative medicine. Oops, I did have a disclaimer there. I don't know what happened to it. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I have nothing to disclose. I'd like to start by talking to you a little bit about the Russian healthcare system to kind of give you a framework for nursing in that country. It's very much an illness-focused system, and it does combine Western and Eastern types of medicine, and I'll get more into the Eastern medicine types when we get to that part. Health education and health promotion are really not practiced, and in fact, health promotion, there's not really a word that translates health promotion as we understand it in a country. Health risk appraisal and screening activities are not done. What I'm talking about is like blood pressure screening for groups, flu shots. There is some health education starting, but it's with groups, and it's with diabetes. Otherwise, there really isn't any type of group health education done. If there is health education done, it's usually by the physician, and it's on an individual basis. As for health maintenance, the patients are very interested in learning about how to take care of their health and to care of them themselves. The issue is that the physicians don't trust the patients to understand their health, their bodies, and know what to do. They consider the patients, the residents, as uneducated, low culture, and so they feel that they're responsible for making sure that the patients do what needs to be done. As for a traditional view of health, as I mentioned earlier, health promotion and disease prevention is not practiced largely. And people, just like here, they seek health care when they get sick. But before they go to the doctor, they will try herbals or tea or massage or any kind of Eastern form medicine first before they will go ahead and seek the Western types of medical delivery. Also, I thought it'd be good to understand a little bit about the organization of healthcare. And if you know those Russian stacking dolls, the Matryoshka dolls, where you start with a small one, it goes larger. The healthcare system is developed that way. So, and the country's divided up into regions and districts. So you'll have the regional hospitals, and medical institutes are usually linked with medical institutes who are training, but they have their own hospitals. Then you'll have your district hospitals, and under those are the clinics, and they're called polyclinics there. And people are assigned to a polyclinic in a district based on where they live. Basic health care is guaranteed through the Constitution, so it is free for all residents. If you want health care outside of your district hospital or polyclinic, you would have to pay for that. excuse me, this is a picture of a hospital in a town of about 5,000. It is a new building. Excuse me. This is a polyclinic where I take students north of St. Petersburg, Russia. And the polyclinics, they have a variety of services that they provide. Thank you. From cardiology to pediatrics and, all kinds of services. Let me tell you a little bit about a nurse's preparation, belchers, and midwives. Nurses are trained for 3 years after the 12th grade. And the third year was added about 5 years ago, and that is to help the nurses specialize in a certain area. It's going to work in a certain area of the hospital. Their education is still very much medical model. It is taught largely still by physicians. They're trying to get away from that, but they're still largely taught by physicians and at medical institutes. They're not taught at universities, so they do not come out with bachelor's degrees. Now, there is a program for nurses that started for nurse managers so that they could work in hospitals as nurse managers, and that's an additional 3 to 4 years. The problem with that is that the government, nurses are, and physicians are state employees, and the government doesn't really have the money to pay those nurse managers what they deserve. So if there are any working in hospitals, they'll be largely in the bigger cities, the main cities and the capitals of the regions. another healthcare provider is a Felcher, and they start out in nursing, and then they have two additional years. And they function similar to our nurse practitioners or a PA, especially in the rural areas where you can't get the doctors there, so that they can prescribe medications and they can do, you know, major treatments. They also are used in hospitals and in clinicals, and they're considered a step above a nurse. Midwives, they get the same nurses training as the first year as nurses, but after that, the additional 2 years is a specialty in midwifery. And I don't know if you know, but the U.S. is the only country in the world that requires midwives to be nurses first. Even in Europe, it's a six-year training specific for midwives. I'm sorry about my voice. For nurses and physicians, it's true, every 5 years they have to go back for continuing education training. And this, they can specialize, if they want to work in a different part of the hospital or a clinic, then they can specialize in that area, and that will prepare them to work there. This is a picture of a Felcher, which is an older one, in a very rural area north of St. Petersburg. And this is one of the first times I went to Russia, and I brought students, and nursing students, she was so excited to meet nursing students from America, plus Americans, because it was such a very rural area. In those rural areas, they're responsible for about 2,000 residents, is who they see. And as you see, everything is still handwritten. You know, it's not, they're not computerized there at all. Not even in the larger hospitals. The nurses and physicians to wear the caps. The woman in blue is a nursing student. Pharmacies, they get medications from all over the world. And so there's no FDA to approve the medications. You can see from Africa, India, and everywhere. Now, no prescription is needed. You know, the doctor can tell them this is what you need to go by, and, you know, they might write it down for them so they make sure they get it accurate, but, you know, they really don't need a prescription. A friend can tell them. When we've been there, we've gone with nurse practitioners, and we've been able to tell them what we, you know, we think they might need. However, the government does not pay for medications. People have to pay for that. Herbals can be purchased at pharmacies. And, this is a picture of a pharmacy with a variety of elixirs and medications. And this was for antiviral medications. Home visits. The nurse's role. When I did my Fulbright Award, I wanted to see what nurses do on home visits and physicians, because being a public health person, I was very interested in that. And what I found is that, you know, nurses would go and kind of do an admission for respite care. Their hospitals are used for respite care, actually. If the family has to go away somewhere and they have an elderly family member that needs to be taken care of, you know, they can admit them to a hospital. So the nurse will come and she'll do some vital signs and say yes, that, you know, this person can be there, and they can stay in a hospital for months, actually. They do very minor treatments. What was most interesting to me is the physician's role, that basically they functioned like our you know, home health nurses or public health nurses. They are the ones that do the complete physicals, any major type of treatment. Physicians will make home visits also. If it's true for children or adults, if they're sick and they can't come to the clinic, they'll make a home visit. And then, you know, under their healthcare system, they're required to have a physical every year, adults are. And so if the doctor notices that, you know, a resident hasn't come in for their annual physical, they'll go ahead and make a home visit to them. Now, one of the forms of alternative medicine that is used is called physiotherapy. And this is conducted by Felchers, usually in polyclinics. And it combines herbals and massage and use of various machines to treat a variety of illnesses. And I have some pictures to share with you. This is actually one of the students that went with us. She started having sinus problems. And this is Sveta Felcher. She's the head of the clinic there now for the nursing part. And they'll use stimulation also. What she's doing is she's put some herbal types of treatment on, and she's using a stimulator to stimulate the sinuses to decrease inflammation. And this is what the machine looks like. It's also used on the brain. They believe that this helps to make the blood vessels. It helps them so to prevent strokes. So they'll come in and have this kind of a treatment done. The other thing is, the doctors can tell the patients they should go get this type of physiotherapy, or sometimes they'll come in and request it on their own, and then this Felcher will decide whether they need that or not. This is a woman who's having some nasal and respiratory, upper respiratory types of problems. And what the Felcher does, she'll take some herbals and make kind of a paste out of it, and then put it on, and then put that on, and it's electrical stimulation to it with some heat. This was actually a faculty member that went with us, and again, for respiratory problems. And, they're used for back problems also. Acupuncture is practiced there. And you can see, if none of you have seen any acupuncture, you can see the length of the needle there. But that is also used. They'll also use leeches for bleeding, for any wound of infections. This is Reiki. And nurses and non-nurses will practice Reiki. It's not as widely accepted as it is here. I understand that some hospitals, insurance companies are actually covering it. Some hospitals are allowing it. But there, it's still not widely recognized by, medical physicians and Western medicine. But it is practiced. This is one of our students wanted to try Reiki. And that's a sweeping away with the hands. If any of you are not real familiar with that, know a little bit about it, but sweeping away of illnesses with the use of your hands. So some of the challenges in providing diverse methods of healthcare are to coordinate the care between alternative care and Western medicine. And this is especially true for Reiki, which physicians really don't recommend. But the patients will prefer alternative types of care, and they'll try that before they'll go for any type of Western care, and they'll talk among themselves and get ideas. Now, the physicians, like I said, will tell patients that they can go and get physiotherapy or massage or drink certain types of teas, and they have books where, if you drink this tea, that will help this type of an illness, and they'll also grow a lot of these plants themselves. It can help patients be responsible for their own health and their health care if they're properly instructed. But one of the problems is the same thing that we have here is when you start using alternative types of medicine or taking certain kinds of pills, it can conflict with the Western medicine that you take. And so that's also still an issue and a problem there, especially since there is no FDA. And patients prefer the American medications, but they're also the most expensive ones for them. So they end up picking and choosing from a variety of countries. But I think what the Russian nurses show us is that there is a place for Eastern and Western medicine. And I think we're beginning to recognize that, but we're still really not quite there. It does give you more types of treatments, methods, and they prefer starting out with teas, massage, any physiotherapy before going to a physician or before trying Western medicine with treatments and medications. It can put the treatment in the hands of the patients, but they really need instruction. The doctors really need to begin to trust the patients. It does provide a holistic approach to health care. And everybody else wants to see what Russia looks like. This is the Hermitage. So I'll show you a few pictures. This is the Hermitage. It was the Winter Palace of the Tsars in St. Petersburg. Now it has its fabulous art there. Russia is known for its cathedrals. This is one in St. Petersburg, Cathedral of the Spilled Blood. They're all museums now, but this one is made of mosaics, and they'll have icons on the walls. It's made from mosaics and stones from the Ural Mountains, so all of the stones come from Russia, actually. This is St. Isaac's, which during World War II housed a lot of the artwork from the Hermitage in the basement. And one of the columns shows a bomb that hit it, but I don't have that. This is only one of the palaces. St. Petersburg is known for all of its palaces. This is one that was built for Catherine the Great. And it's a whole block. I mean, I couldn't even get the whole palace into one picture. But just to entice some of you to maybe visit. It's a very interesting country. And this is St. Basil's in Moscow. Okay, thank you.